From KCBN Appleton News in Salt Lake City, I'm Jeff Robinson. With the election just 2.5 weeks away, having money to spend is going to be important for Utah's congressional candidates, especially in one key area, advertising. And while Democratic incumbent Jim Matheson had his most successful quarter yet, raising $471,000 since July, his GOP opponent Mia Love took in more than $1 million. Every Friday, we talk with Thomas Burr, Washington correspondent for the Salt Lake Tribune and author of Political Cornflakes, a daily online roundup of Utah politics. He joins me now from Washington. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, Jeff.
So, Thomas, how does the fundraising picture look right now between Jim Matheson and Mia Love?
Well, Mia Love is doing very well, obviously. She's benefited quite a bit from some national attention, you know, being a black female Republican certainly has been a big deal for the Republicans this go around. She got time, obviously, on stage at the convention in primetime. It was a good spot. Helped to raise a lot of money. And obviously, she's been doing some, you know, some national TV and some other interviews, national papers, which really helps when it comes down to the fundraising part. You know, Matheson, again, did his best he's ever done in a quarter, but still has less than half of what she got. Of course, they're going to have plenty of money, and there's many an outside group that are going to pour in their own funding into advertising, too. So, unfortunately for Utahns, they're going to see a lot more TV hits.
And one important thing to note is that although Matheson may have raised less than Mia Love, apparently he's prepaid for his advertising more than $1.25 million right up until the election, so that's got to help.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, again, both campaigns have enough money to just roll on right now. There's no shortage of funds right there. You know, and the interesting part is on the other side, too, actually, Representative Rob Bishop's opponent, Donna McAleer, actually outraised him. And I love this part. So she raised $121,000, which is pretty big for a newcomer to politics. Bishop raises $66,000. He's never really been into fundraising. He doesn't like to ask for money. But he raises $66,000. Then immediately writes a $58,000 check to the National Republican Congressional Committee. So he pretty much raises the money and gave it away.
So, Thomas, let's turn to this week's big town hall debate held in New York between President Obama and Mitt Romney. I have binders full of questions to ask you about the debate, but I'll stick to just one. What were the key points in the debate from your perspective?
Well, importantly, binders full of women was a big deal. I think people are getting confused, though, about binders full of women on top of cars with the dog Seamus or something like that. There's a lot of one-liners that have come out, and Big Bird's hanging out there somewhere, too. But sure, there's a lot of one-liners that come out of this campaign. You know, the most remarkable, I think, highlight from the debate was Obama finding his mojo. You know, at some point, his supporters have been wanting him to fight back, to make some, you know, score some points, to actually, you know, try to say, you know, Romney isn't getting it right or something like that. And his supporters, you know, were pretty happy with the performance they saw in President Obama on the town hall setting. That was a setting, you know, was good for him. You know, Romney obviously scored some points as well. He did back into one, though, that was not the most beautiful situation for him when the moderator, Candy Crowley, had to actually step in and say that the president had called the attacks in Benghazi, Libya, an act of terror the day after it happened. You know, and surprisingly, public lands got a bit of time. Usually that's not an issue you hear in a presidential town hall. But when we start talking about energy, public lands became an issue for quite a while. And again, I think we also finally saw the mention of the 40% comment by Mitt Romney. Of course, it was Obama bringing it up this time and talking about the 47% and not in the way that Romney really liked.
So what is your take then, Thomas, on the state of the presidential race? Obviously, if you go on Twitter, all the Republicans say Romney's way ahead. All the Democrats say President Obama's way ahead. But after this debate, with the momentum there seeming to go to President Obama, what's your take?
You know, you can pick the poll you want, and obviously Republicans and Democrats are doing that right now because, you know, there's some national polls showing Romney up, others show Obama up by 1 point or so. The swing states are very, very close. You know, the momentum could shift pretty easily. We haven't really seen what kind of impact the debate had on some of the swing state independent voters, so that will matter. It is incredibly tight as we head into the final stretch, and I think we're you're going to see on Election Day is a repeat of 2000, where it's incredibly close in the national vote, overall vote. The Electoral College could be a little bit different, but it could even be the case where Romney wins the popular vote and loses the Electoral College in the situation we saw in 2000. So, yeah, just imagine it's going to be a long night.
Finally, Thomas, moving away from the election and from Washington for just a bit, a lot of people would probably be surprised to hear that Zion National Park, a very popular international destination in southern Utah, actually has large chunks of land inside the park that are privately owned and not under the control of the National Park Service. Now, as you can imagine, that creates a lot of tension between preservation and development. You reported recently on an anonymous donor kicking in $825,000 or so to buy one of these private parcels. What was this purchase for exactly?
There are 4,000 acres of private land within Zion National Park. And this happened because they expanded Zion to include the Kolob part, which people who drive near on Interstate 15 down that way will see. And people had already, had parts of private land they owned right there. So they couldn't take them away without paying for them. And at the time, they didn't have the money. And that's still a problem right now. So, on occasion, the parks will try to buy some areas. But what we're seeing now are some McMansions being built in that area. There are people who are want vacation homes in this really beautiful part of the country will come in and build these large structures that then can obstruct views for tourists or hikers and just kind of take away from that beautiful landscape that everyone comes to Zion for. So the Trust for Public Lands National Park Conservation Association they're working to raise private funds, and in this case they got a big donation from someone we'll never know. To buy up a spot to prevent any kind of big mansion being built there and obstructing the view. So it's a win-win for everyone. The landowner gets paid, and then people who go to the park now can gaze upon the Tabernacle Dome without any problems.
Thomas Burr is Washington correspondent for the Salt Lake Tribune and author of Political Cornflakes, a daily online roundup of Utah politics. Tommy, talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jeff.